We turn next to our responsive reading, Lord's Day number 30. In this section, the Catechism is expounding the various aspects of the sacraments of first of baptism, then of the Lord's Supper. In Lord's Day number 30, we have three questions and answers, of which ask some hard questions. Who may take of the Lord's Supper? What is this practice that we have? You know, as young people, we've been seeing our parents partake of the Lord's Supper for many years. How does that compare to the way in which the Lord's Supper is regarded by others? And of course, the particular address here is in the Roman Catholic Church. Let's read questions and answers 80, 81, and 82. I'll read the question, we'll read the answers through together. What difference is there between the Lord's Supper and the Pope's Mass? The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have full forgiveness of all our sins by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which He Himself once accomplished on the cross, and that by the Holy Spirit we are engrafted into Christ, who with His true body is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father and is there to be worshipped. But the Mass teaches that the living and the dead do not have forgiveness of sins through the sufferings of Christ, unless Christ is still daily offered for them by the priest. That Christ is bodily under the form of bread and wine, and is therefore to be worshipped in them, and thus the Mass at bottom is nothing else than a denial of the one sacrifice and suffering of Jesus Christ, and an accursed idolatry. Who are to come to the table of the Lord? Those who are displeased with themselves for their sins, yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining infirmity is covered by the suffering and death of Christ, who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and to amend their life. But the unrepentant and hypocrites eat and drink judgment to themselves. Are they then also to be admitted to this supper, who show themselves by their confession and life to be unbelieving and ungodly? No, for thereby the covenant of God is profaned, and His wrath provoked against the whole congregation. Therefore, the Christian church is bound, according to the order of Christ and His apostles, to exclude such persons as of keys until they amend their lives. When I teach the catechumens about the sacraments, we emphasize what are the sacraments, right? What are they supposed to teach us? And of course, again and again, it's not that the water of baptism is what saves us or what puts us in a new or different relationship to God. It's the water that witnesses to the prior relationship that exists because of His grace in our lives, in the case of a new convert, or it witnesses to the status of our children as being born into the covenant. In the same way, when we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, it's not as if the bread and the wine are God's grace that save us or that provide us something new or different. No, it's the bread and the wine that witness to the sufficiency of Christ, who is our true bread and our true drink, that He might supply all that we need. And so in teaching this, question 66 says, what are the sacraments? And the explanation there is chiefly this, that the whole of our salvation rests in what Christ has done. That's it. And of course, the hope of the gospel is that what Christ has completed, what Christ has accomplished, becomes credited to our account. In fact, it was at a Bible camp. I kind of set the kids up, and I could probably do the same thing here. Well, how do we get saved? Well, Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins. And I said to them, if that's all that Jesus did, that's not enough for you to go to heaven. Because all that does is take away your sins. All that does is take away your guilt for what you've, the sins you've committed. And that's not enough because you haven't yet met the requirement of being accepted by God. Well, what more do you need? Well, you need His perfect obedience and perfect righteousness to be credited to your account. So, yes, your sins do have to be taken away. But more than that, you need the life, you need the righteousness that only comes from Christ. And it can only be received by you by a true and living faith. That's why the Apostle Paul, and we looked at this in recent weeks, from Romans chapter 3, verse 21, he says, but now a righteousness has been revealed apart from the law. Apart from our doing. It's a righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And so, yes, our sins do have to be forgiven, but more than that, we need the righteousness that only Christ has. And you can hear that. And actually, where I was going with all that is the first question, number 80 that we read, I think is one of the most clear and succinct summaries of the gospel. Almost challenging Lord's Day number one. The Lord's Supper testifies to us that we have full forgiveness of all our sins by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which He Himself once accomplished on the cross, and that by the Holy Spirit we are now engrafted into Christ, who with His true body is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and is there to be worshipped. How are we right with God? Only in as much as we are engrafted into Christ. And so much does that have to be that His Spirit, that His love, that His grace becomes ours. So that your spirit is not your own. It's Christ in you. The love, the compassion that you feel for others, that's not original with you. That's a witness to Christ in you, that God in His mercy are affecting His purposes and molding your will after His will. And so then the next two questions really follow right on the tail of that. Well, then who may come and take of the Lord's Supper? Well, those who have confessed faith in Christ. Those who are trusting in His sufficiency, not their own. And so the last part of 81, and then question 82, but unrepentant and hypocrites eat and drink judgment to themselves. Well, who are these people? Well, the unrepentant is one who sins and doesn't feel bad. Doesn't even think he has to confess his sin before God. That's unrepentant. A hypocrite is one who knows he's not being sincere, but is pretending anyway. In fact, I was just talking yesterday to Christopher Campbell, I left that same page on the back of the bulletin of sins that we need to ask for forgiveness. Well, here it is. The fact of our refined hypocrisy, whereby we desire to appear to others what we are not. You know, I think about that with myself. I want you guys to think that I'm a good and faithful servant. But there's many ways in which I know my own heart. I know the weakness of my own flesh. And here's what I know, that if that's so for me, guess what is that? That's so for you too. And so what's the answer? To hold fast ever more tenaciously to the promise of God's grace, to the integrity of our spirit and our devotion to Him. Are they then to be admitted who show themselves by their confession, by what they believe and life, how they live, that they are unbelieving and ungodly? And the answer comes back, no. For thereby the covenant of God is profaned and His wrath provoked against the whole congregation. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul gives the form for the Lord's Supper, he says that, doesn't he? He says, you know, many of you are sick. You're not healthy. And here's why. And of course, then he says that when you come, you should examine yourselves. No, for thereby the covenant of God is profaned and His wrath provoked against the whole congregation. Therefore, the Christian church is bound, according to the order of Christ and His apostles, to exclude such persons by the office of the keys until they amend their lives. And of course, one might say, well, that doesn't sound very nice. Well, but it's the nicest thing in the world when you tell someone where they stand spiritually, what they need to do in terms of faith, in terms of their lives. Because if you let them continue in the wrong way, do you love them? You don't. In fact, you hate them. And so the call, the challenge of the Christian church is to speak the truth in love, to encourage God's people in the faith once for all delivered to the saints.